Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Story of a Marriage, 50 Years of Christmas Love Letters by Jim McCormick is not fiction. It's beautifully real. Philosophical, poetic, deeply insightful, these private letters reflect the joys and the struggles that every marriage faces. An inspiration to young lovers and to partners weathering life storms, this collection is a testament to the enduring power of love. Jim McCormick is a retired lawyer, served as a judge in Michigan for most of his career. After several trips to the Middle East and extensive research, he published Jerusalem and the Holy Land, the first ecumenical pilgrim's guide. He's also written a number of short stories, many inspired by his own life experiences. He and his wife, Marilyn, a high school English teacher, raised three children together. Jim McCormick, author of Story of a Marriage, 50 Years of Christmas Love Letters, a chronicle of devotion, struggles, and enduring love, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick. It's very nice to be with you and your audience.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here to talk about this book. It is a really special Story of a Marriage, 50 Years of Christmas Love Letters. Jim McCormick, the author, our guest on the program. I'll give you his website as we go through the conversation. This book really is special. It's got so many unique qualities. What sets this book apart from so many others?
Well, for one thing, one can argue, is it a book or is it a bunch of letters, like 50, written one year at a time?
Yes.
Which I found after my wife passed away, or when she was about to pass away, and you know, edited them, put them together, and so it's a book written over 50 years, which is, I think that's, if not unique, close to it.
It certainly is, and you can see the evolution of the relationship of the marriage, all the different stages that you go through over five decades. It's a remarkably touching book, Story of a Marriage, 50 Years of Christmas Love Letters. Let's go back to 1968. I love the beginning, how this came about in the first place, sort of out of desperation on your part. Tell us, let's go back to 1968. How did this come about? How did you start writing these letters?
I'm going to read one short paragraph from the preface to the book.
Yes, please.
Answers that question. The book, and I put that word book in quotes because it's not a normal book. It was written one year at a time for 50 years. Anyway, and it was never intended to be a book. It was intended just annual love letters at Christmas to my wife. She kept them, and when she was dying, I relocated them. So that's, and eventually, after I got over my deepest grief, I would put them together. The book started, as I say, by accident. I wrote a love letter to Marilyn on Christmas Eve, 1968, our first Christmas together. Lo and behold, she loved it so much. She begged me to write a Christmas letter to her every year, as long as we lived. I said I would, of course, but I had no idea where that would lead. 50 years of our lives spread out on paper, one year at a time. Almost no one, I said, writes like that anymore, as far as I know. That's how it started.
You know, that's interesting. That first year, it really was a hit. It was something Marilyn really liked and made you promise, okay, you're going to do this every year. And we see the changes from year to year. Talk a little bit about that, because it's sort of like the journey of you, Marilyn, and the family.
Yeah, well, as you can imagine, every winter, as Christmas approached, I sat down and thought a lot about what do I want to say to Marilyn this year about our love life, our family life, our whole life together. How is it going? And from year to year, the letters, like our life, took a slightly different tone. And of course, I never had the opportunity to go back and reread previous letters to see where I am now in this future book. I never, in fact, if I had ever thought, said, hinted to her that, you know, when you die, I am going to put all those letters together wherever they are. And she would have probably said, well, thanks. Now for sure, I'll destroy them. But we had no idea that they were very personal, you know, intimate, not in a sexy, sexy way, but intimate in the good way. We talked about a lot. I talked about a lot of things that I never would have said to the public, or maybe even in front of my kids. You know, these were, sometimes we were talking about kids, and, you know, and sometimes one of your kids is acting up and you got problems, and you know, thank God my kids approved of my putting this together in a book. You know, they might have objected to some things, but, you know, and as you get middle age and focus more on jobs and problems going at you know, in your life at work rate at eight, and then finally, you know, the later letters are talking about that early retirement period when life is so easy and so good, so enjoyable. We traveled a lot, and, you know, and then you start slowing down. That's the end with my wife died. She died shortly after our 50th anniversary, but a couple months before Christmas. And then that, I was encouraged to write the 50th letter, the last letter, that Christmas. And that's the tearjerker.
That had to be difficult to do. And I've asked Jim if he would read some selections, various selections from the collection of letters. I won't call it a book. I'll call it a collection that you've put together with 50 years covering five decades, done at Christmas, a tribute to his wife, Marilyn, to the family, sort of going back and looking at the past year. And the book is Story of a Marriage, 50 Years of Christmas Love Letters. Our guest is Jim McCormick. His website is jimmccormick-author.com. Book is available, of course, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. And a link on our website will take you directly to Jim's website, give you information on the book and how to order at that point. I think we're starting off with that first letter from 1968. This is the one that that started this, that Marilyn was so impressed with. She says, Jim, you got to do this for me every year. Read us a little bit from that first letter in 1968.
Okay, yeah, for your audience, when you're interviewing an author, particularly this kind of a book, the people need to hear something about what's in the book, not just about the book. So that's where we go. The first letter, of course, was the one that innocently set up this unusual phenomenon of 50 straight years of catching up with her regarding how her life has gone this year. First one, Christmas 1968. Dear darling Marilyn, may this be the merriest Christmas of your young, beautiful life. And may each succeeding one be brighter and more satisfying by virtue of your growth as a warm, loving woman. This Christmas letter is quite ironic, since one of the great accomplishments of the last 12 months for me has been learning how to enter your heart and how to open up my crusty old heart to the kind of deep, compromising relationship which we have been building. One pout, crisis, freeze, thaw, smile, quip, squeeze of the hand, ecstatic reconciliation, contented glow at a time. Ironic, I say, because I have no real need to place my innermost feelings about you in writing in order to avoid the embarrassment of speaking them to your face. I love to say these same things to you, person to person, because somehow you have forced me to enter into the daylight and learn to share my life with someone other than myself. Well, I could go on and on, but I think that's probably enough of that one.
Well, yeah, that sets the stage for what you did in 1968, continued to do for 50 years after that. The collection put into the book Story of a Marriage, 50 Years of Christmas Love Letters by Jim McCormick. We go from 1968 to 1977. The caption for this, I believe, is a slightly tempestuous relationship. Read a little bit of that, if you would.
You know, as I said, slightly, because looking back, I really realized that it wasn't all that tempestuous, but that's kind of a strong word, you know. But anyway, I'll cut into the kind of the middle of the letter and read a little. I had been talking the first part of the letter about this Christmas letter tradition. So to continue, I said, it gives me the chance once a year to tell you on the record, that's lawyer talk, how much I love you and how grateful I am to have found you. I instinctively knew when I met you that I was going to be pulled to you with a magnetic effect. We are very different temperamentally, which makes for a slightly tempestuous relationship. But the pluses of knowing you intimately and sharing your heart far outweigh the little disruptions we have from time to time. I like this part. If you were but wise and good and not much fun, it would suffice for me. If you were wise and good and fun, but not so loving, it would suffice for me. If you were but wise and good and fun and loving, but not so beautiful, it would suffice for me. If you were wise, good, fun, loving, and beautiful, but not someone with whom I can share each little detail of my day and each little twist of the law, it would suffice for me. But you were all these things. You were made to make me happy and fulfilled. I hope I can do the same for you. Love, Jim.
That was one of the chapters, one of the years in Jim's book. Let's go to a growing commitment. This was from, I believe, 1990. What was the tone of the Christmas letter in 1990? And
well,
it's headed as a growing commitment, so I'm anxious to hear this as well.
We were in the sort of middle age of life at this point. Dear Marilyn, another Christmas. This one in Detroit. Danny in Europe. Jenny, home from state. David, just being David. He was our youngest. He was still in high school. Middle age upon us. You have been feeling it this year. I fight it and act like it isn't here yet. But the changes all around us say time is marching on. There are great grandchildren around us. Not ours, but the very idea is startling. Two of our three are off to college. One, our routine will change. So far, these changes have been easy and pleasant. Yet we see the slow decline of our parents and aunts and uncles. It prepares us for a consciousness of mortality and immortality. I become more conscious of the tenacity of our relationship, our long enduring marriage, our growing commitment to marriage as an institution, which is so crucial to our civilization and our growing commitment to each other. I become much more grateful to you for saying yes 23 years ago, for casting your lot with me, for taking a chance on me. I thank you for your gritty friendship, for your strength of character, for your bringing out the best in me. I love you very much, Jim.
So well done. That was from 1990. I'm reading and I feel like I know you, like almost like I know Marilyn the way you're talking about her during the reading of these letters. We'll go to 1996. Your smile and face topic of the letter.
You almost feel like you know Marilyn from my, what I'm saying about her.
Yes.
That's funny.
Yes.
I had one critic who said, well, the book would be better if you could have talked her into writing 50 letters back to you this, at the same time. I said, well, maybe that would be a different book.
Oh, totally. Totally.
She wanted me to write to her. Somehow or other, I didn't need letters to me. That never occurred to me. But anyway,
was spontaneous when you started it. If she had to do it, if you had to do it, it's almost like an assignment at that point that you have to do. This was spontaneous. This organically came out of your feelings in 1968 and started. So it really gives us an understanding. We can see ourselves reflected in the letters as we go through the different changes in life. Your face and smile. Read that, if you would, a portion of it.
Okay. Yeah, actually, my little caption, these are on each, in front of the beginning of each letter, I have a little caption. That wasn't part of the letter. The caption was just my sort of message to the reader. This, look for this in this letter. My caption on this one was, your beautiful smile on your flawless face. Dear Marilyn, let me take this occasion to tell you in writing, which can be reread all year, that I still feel a way about you that I felt when we were first married. Only now I know better why. I love your zest for life, your warmth with people, and I love you for those qualities. I love your beautiful smile and your flawless face. I love your sincerity and your dedication to what you believe. And I love you for those qualities. I love your sense of humor, which expands with the years. I love the way you love me, which is so generous and unjustified. I love you for sharing uniquely with me our steadfast and passionate love for our children and our all-absorbing interest in their welfare and future. I love you also in ways only explained by the term chemistry. You are right for me. And I think, and I hope I am right for you. I thank God for bringing us together in the basement of that church in 1967, almost 30 years ago. I love to cuddle up to you all night while you watch TV, and I vacillate between listening and trying to go to sleep. I love the way you care about your students, the way you know how to help them, to say the right thing to them when they need guidance. I like being allied to your efforts. I really enjoy our repartee on a multitude of topics. Let's pray that the good Lord will give us many more years together. Merry Christmas, Jim. Jim.
That was 1996. It's interesting to see sort of the progression, the feelings that developed, that nurtured during this period that Jim is writing a letter. If you just joined us, a Christmas letter every year, starting in 1968, 50 in total. We're getting now to, I think your next excerpt is from the letter from 2002, Our Meeting Has Elevated My Life.
You notice, and I'm noticing and look and reading this, that my what I say at this point in time was much more philosophical, you might say, more reflective than some of my earlier stuff, which it just had a different thing about it. This is more like we are soulmates now. We're coming to be soulmates, you're not soulmates when you get married. That's, that kind of, if you do become, it's happens over years. Page 89.
That's so true. And we're able to see the maturing of the relationship with Jim and Marilyn as they go through the years in the 1 year recap.
And as we individually mature, we kind of mature together and come to really think a lot alike. Okay, This one, Christmas 2002. My caption is, "Our meeting has elevated my life." This is, it's short, quite short. Most of my letters were maybe three pages. This one is only one long paragraph. "Dear Marilyn, I just had a thought which I want to pass along to you at Christmas. How and why I happened to have this thought, I am not sure. It just came to me out of the blue as my mind was wandering during a trial." I was a judge at this point, so sometimes your mind wanders. This was a good one. Imagine in the middle of a trial, somebody was probably trying to say something important, and I thought this. The thought is this. Whatever I am at this time in my life, I owe to you. The direction in which my life has gone is in great part attributable to your influence, your personality, your values, your lifestyle. Without you, my life would have gone in some unknown direction. I feel sure our meeting has elevated my life to a higher dimension. Thanks, sweetheart. Love, Merry Christmas, Jim."
That was from 2002. Next is a short poem from 2010. When you're looking for that, did this process, this looking back on the past year, this reflection, did this make you a better person, do you think? Did you make it, you a better husband by going back and really looking at the past year?
Well, it certainly made our Christmas season more fulfilling.
Yes.
Because I was really thinking, and hopefully in reading the letter, encouraged her to think along the same lines. Now, I'm not saying that the letter, I wrote those letters, thought about them, gave them to her. We didn't usually discuss them very much. It was a writing thing, you know. We didn't want to turn it into a conversation.
Yes, I understand.
We had lots of conversations all the time, but this somehow or other, this seemed to stand apart. She read it. She told me how much she loved it and so forth. And then sometimes she would say, "Well, I'm not reading those portions right now. That letter felt more like a sort of a short summary of our family life the last year. I kept waiting for you to say something personal to me. You know, you're talking about, well, back in June, this or that happened. We went to that fantastic family trip, you know, up to Quebec and so forth. And this had happened, that happened." And I was really kind of recounting our life together. But to me, that was saying, hey, these are the things that we did together.
Yes.
Part of our growing closer and closer together. She kind of took that as kind of like, well, I don't really need a shopping list of everything that happened in 2022 or 2010. I want to hear that word love over and over and over. Yeah. She didn't mean that literally, but she would sometimes say, the letter this year was too like a narrative story of everything that happened to us or the kids or our family this year. And I like it when you spend more time talking about you and me. Forget the little adventure trip we took here and there and just talk about us. And I say majority of the letters are in that vein, but anyway. Well, this one was 2010,
yeah, short poem. You did some poetry in here too, didn't you?
Yeah, it's just I have a number of my letters were if not all, some of them, I mean, it's one or two are fairly lengthy poems. Like, I mean, maybe 12, 14 verses. And I have one that's actually, I wrote it as a poem, and then I turned it into a song, and I actually learned how to you know, create a staff and so forth, and with the notes and so forth. That's, I think it's a lot of effort to figure that out.
Wow, it sounds like it, yes.
Well, yeah, and I sang it to her. Yeah, so, yeah, but anyway, it was about our trip we took to our son's David's wedding in Korea, and it was, I felt it was occasion for a song. Anyway, this is 2010. I said it was a short poem. Actually, my caption for it was, "A bachelor's hubris met its doom." Dear Marilyn, this is actually about how we met. We met in a big, in Detroit, 1967. Everybody was expecting a terrible race trouble that summer. The city was ready to explode, and it did that summer. It was like the worst summer in the history of Detroit, but changed the city forever. But that spring, there were efforts all over the city to get black and white couples together and talk about, you know, family life, about neighbors and neighborhoods, and take care of our neighbors. It's just really friendly things like that. And this meeting was held in the basement of a church. There were probably 300 people there, and I saw her across the room with a girlfriend who we knew, and I asked my brother, who was with me, "Who is that girl that's with Jean over there? I just saw her. I liked the way she carried herself and smiled and so forth. Something about her." And my brother said, "Oh, that's, you know, Marilyn Torina." I said, at the halftime, "Let's go over and talk to them." We did, and I was fascinated with her, and like no girl I had met, you know, in a long time, if ever. And I said, "When it's over, let's see if we can interest them in, you know, going, you know, someplace, some pub, and, you know, and talk more about this effort to improve race relations in Detroit." And so we did, and we stayed up there till they kicked us out at 2 o'clock. Anyway, that was how I met her. And I knew right then, I've met nobody like her. Finally, I think I found the right one. So anyway, this is the poem. "One night, across a crowded room, a smoke-filled basement of a church, a bachelor's hubris would meet its doom. A face, a look would end his search. And Marilyn, you still have that look, for 40 years and more have passed. I'll never regret that vow I took, though 40 more years we should last."
But powerful. That really is, and you can tell in reading the words say something. You reading them, this should be an audio book with you reading, and maybe even singing a song or two. It really brings to life the thoughts and the feelings that you had for Marilyn and the family. We've got time for a couple of more here. I'm really enjoying seeing the progression of the marriage, the relationships. This is from 2011, I believe, The Web of Family. The book is Story of a Marriage, 50 Years of Christmas Love Letters. You'll find it wherever books are sold. Jim McCormick is our guest on the program. His website, jimmccormick/author.com. McCormick is McCormick. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Reading from several of the chapters in his book. This is from 2011, started with the first letter in 1968. This is The Web of Family.
Yeah, the book is, I broke down our 50 years of marriage into four parts. This is the last part of the book. It's called Later Life and Death of a Partner, 2011 to 2018. The web of family encircling us with people. I'll just read one short paragraph from that. This leads like a segue to a realization that our marital love is more than an interaction between two monads. Rather, it is a celebration of a cluster of people whose lives are forever intertwined with ours. And as our love matures and is more spiritual, we more readily take into our circle the whole human race, all precious to the Lord, and therefore should be precious to us. And my love for you will be for all eternity. Jim.
And now this is the one that you did after she had passed. Talk about this. It wasn't your original idea to do it, was it? The family encouraged you and friends encouraged you to, you can't stop at 49. You need to get to 50.
Right, right. In 2018, our 50th anniversary was in the spring, and she died in October. She had been, you know, declining for quite a while. And I was, of course, plunged into, and I think I probably had the grief situation like more intensely than a lot of people. And that's not a value judgment. It's just that we're all different. It's not, it had to be more me than anything else, probably. The way you're wired, you know. It took me 2 years to just to get over the point where that dominated my life.
Yes.
My loneliness for her and so forth. The last one, page 2018. So she died in October, and as Christmas was approaching, and we had found the letters, and which she hid away, and started reading them. People were saying to me, "You ought to put these together and publish them." And you should write that 50th letter. You guys were married 50 years. This is your 50th Christmas. You need to write one more. And my first thought was, I can't do that. It sounds kind of weird, kind of creepy, writing to somebody a sort of a posthumous letter after they're gone. But I was encouraged to do it. No. Get your feelings out. It was actually very healthy for me to do it. And I'll just, this one is longer than usual, so I have to make it short. You know,
okay.
Page 118, I'll find that.
The book is available wherever books are sold. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, will take you to Jim's website, will take you to his Amazon page as well, so you can order the book there as well. And it's interesting, this would make a great Christmas as we're heading towards the holidays. It's not expensive. It's a very meaningful, thoughtful gift. We'll get people reflective of their situations, their marital situations, whether they're newlyweds or people who have been married a number of years and have weathered their way through life's storms. The book is available, Story of a Marriage, 50 Years of Christmas Love Letters. Would be a great Christmas gift idea for friends and family.
Okay, Christmas 2018. I captioned this when I was writing the book as a bittersweet ode to my dearly departed wife. My dear, darling Merlin. By the way, I think this should resonate well with older people, particularly widows and widowers. Widows and widowers and people who have lost their mate are going to relate to this, I'm sure. Really feel the loss maybe the rest of your lives, but particularly
yes.
for the first months or years. My dear, darling Marilyn, I am crying out loud in my deepest grief as I write this annual Christmas love letter to you, a tradition which began the first Christmas of our 50-year marriage. You love that first letter, Christmas 1968, and begged me to do it every Christmas. I have done that for 50 years. Your heart stopped beating on October 6th, 2.5 months ago. You transitioned to the next stage of our existence. I was left in deepest despair, which has gripped me since that awful day. It has been 2.5 months since you breathed your last. And when I am alone, my mind drifts to images of you all day long and in the middle of the night. And I explode in loud cries. Oh, honey, I love you so much. I can't stand it. I want so badly to be with you. But I also have the conviction that you are, in fact, with me and our family right now, all the time, just across a thin veil, acutely aware in some dimension we don't understand of my thoughts and feelings. I really love you, Marilyn, far more intensely than when we were together here on Earth. If only we had the opportunity to relive our long lives together. After my experience of my feelings for you since your passing over, I would love the opportunity to be the loving husband I am today. I am insanely in love with you now. There is nothing like this full-time morning to make this surviving spouse want to spend forever in your arms. It is surreal. Maybe heaven will be like that. Not just you and me, but everyone. I feel so passionate about you. I want to throw myself in front of a train to protect you, but I can't. There is no train. There is no you, at least in the flesh. Let's see. And I'll just pass to the very end. And yes, honey, I love you as I have never loved before. I have learned so much about real love in the course of this most painful experience of my life. May I be a better man because of it. I have had to reflect so much more deeply on the importance of really loving. While waiting for that day when we meet again in the heavenly realm, may I love others so much more unselfishly because of my excruciating experience of temporarily losing you, my buddy, my lover, my special partner, my soulmate. Until then, let us communicate with each other all the time, every day, with every heartbeat. Your Jim.
Need a minute to pull yourself together after that. That was so well done and so touching. That's in Jim's book, and it's a collection of 50 letters that he wrote to his wife Marilyn every Christmas, and we just concluded with the final one in 2018. The book is available wherever books are sold, and the time has gone by so quickly. Jim, thank you so much for being with us, bringing back all of these memories as we're talking our way through the book and what people can expect to read. I mentioned in the beginning, this is a great Christmas gift idea for everybody, isn't it? This is not just specific to one age group. I think there's something there for everybody at all stages of their life and their marriage.
I hope so. And one other thing is this, I would love it if this book got in the hands of enough people that husbands might think about writing love letters to their wife, where you sit down and you really give it some thought, not off the top of your head, not an email, not a text, which can be deleted, but something real personal, written in longhand, preferably. And then make it a practice with some regularity. I think that would be a wonderful outcome of the book and would make me very happy. I've talked to a psychologist who said to me that, you know, women are going to love your book. At first, men are going to think, man, he makes me look bad. But then the wife's going to say, you can do that too. Why don't you? you know, because that's what she wished. I mean, she said, you know, this will be read by a lot of men who don't think they could do something like this, but they can, and they will really please their wives.
Well, you've done an excellent job in putting this together, in sharing. Somebody said it's like looking into someone's soul. You're very honest and vulnerable as you're discussing this. It obviously meant so much to Marilyn, and I thank you so much for being with us on the program. The book is once again available wherever books are sold. Story of a Marriage, the book available on Amazon. We'll get that link on our website. Our thanks to Primex Publishing, the right choice, providing superior publishing needs to help authors on their publishing journey, a one-stop solution, primexpublishing.com. Jim, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for going back and especially reading excerpts from some of the letters. I think it just brings it alive and gives us a sense for what it's like. And we can all reflect on our situations as you're reflecting on yours. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Rick, I thank you so much for the opportunity. It was wonderful.
You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back. More on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.